Well, he's obviously the best quarterback to ever play the game.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Yep.
Oh. Well, that's the end of that argument.
There you go.
Best of the game up next. That'll do it.
Live Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk is righteously brewed in San Francisco. I mean, what I was actually one of the many points. This is to me a fascinating conversation. But like, if this were to get to Joe wants out of Cincinnati, if I'm the Bengals, there are two things I'm looking for. Number one, get him the hell out of my conference. That's number one. And number two, I've paid $80 million for my two wide receivers. I don't want to go into the draft and start over with a pup. I would like draft capital and an established QB. So I'm going to look to the NFC for who would be willing to give me their quarterback and picks in exchange for my quarterback. And I bet you'd have a handful of teams that would say, let's ride. I bet the Cowboys would do it because they'd actually save money if they went from their quarterback to this quarterback. Brock and
if they
Joe
have picks anymore.
Yeah, fair point. You know, but I mean, Brock and Joe's contracts are relatively similar. Joe's got more guarantees, but 5, 275.
And Brock's
five,
got more years remaining.
Exactly, exactly. Joe's in the third year. Brock is about to start his first. So again, a completely mythical deal. But in other words, sure, there are teams that would die for him. The Arizona Cardinals would love to have Joe Burrow. And they'd be like, you want Kyler Murray?
Right.
And the Bengals would be like,
no thanks.
Eh, what else you got?
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting if this gets to that, which teams would the Bengals call? Which ones would take that call? I threw out that mythical idea because it does feel a little Goff and Stafford-esque, where the Rams needed to give Goff and picks in order to get Stafford. So that's what it would be like. The Niners, who, of course, yes, they love Brock. There's no problem with keeping Brock. This is like shopping for a car when you've already got one. That's great. That's a power position. I'm a huge fan of Brock. I don't need to tell our audience that. But Brock Purdy and two first-rounders for Joe Burrow, my answer would be yes. Absolutely. Provided that I knew he wasn't.
That's a giant provided.
Well, sure, but I mean, to me, it's baked into any conversation. If you can't get an answer to that, then everyone would say no.
Of course,
yeah. But if he doesn't want to play football, then this is a non-conversation.
For me, you're going down the same road you went before with Trey Lance, which is giving up first-round picks, which ultimately, in my opinion, might have cost you the Super Bowl. And now you're in a spot where you don't have the depth you should have because you don't have first-round picks. You didn't have it 2 years ago. You didn't have first-round picks that you would have used on hopefully usable players that would have helped you. And in turn, you didn't have the depth that you would have liked to have. And what you're talking about is, oh, your O-line, you need to start building that O-line up. Yep. Well, if you use those first-round picks that you wasted in the Trey Lance deal, you might have had a tackle or a guard or, God forbid, a center who would
rounds.
Be a mainstay now.
There are other rounds.
I know, but the best offensive linemen typically go in the first round.
To me, this is just an opportunistic thing. The Niners don't need to do this. The same way they didn't, quote-unquote, need to go get Christian McCaffrey, but when a great player is available and you have an opportunity to go do it, you know, like a lot of people were like, well, the Giants didn't need Rafael Devers, but like if a great player becomes available and it's like, ooh, this price feels fair or this is a way for us to better ourselves, like your Trey Lance comp, that in that situation, you're going to get a quarterback who's a total unknown. And as it turns out, is not good. This is not that. This is Joe Flippin' Burrow.
Fine. If you want to put Burrow as the whatever best quarterback in the league, you can say, I don't know, second, third, fourth. It doesn't
he's
even matter.
Five.
What the
he's five. Definitely top five.
Where's Brock Purdy?
Top 12.
Okay, so you're going to go from number 12 to number 5, let's just say. For me, the upgrade from 12 to 5 is not worth two first-round picks.
Yeah, no, and I get that opinion. I totally get it. By the way, a Hall of Fame quarterback is going to weigh in on this in about 10 to 12 minutes. Kurt Warner joins us now in about 10 minutes or so. While we're at it, should mention our buddy Johnny Avello from DraftKings. Going to try to help get Dibs out of his cold streak.
Yeah, boy.
That's 4:15. Jason LaConfora, NFL insider for Odyssey at 5 o'clock as we try to translate what Joe Burrow just said to everybody yesterday.
You know, if I want to keep doing this, I have to have fun doing it. You know, I've been through a lot, and if it's not fun, then what am I doing it for? So that's the mindset I'm trying to bring to the table. There's just a lot of things going on right now.
Football related, personally.
All of the above.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Football.
All of the above.
Football or at home. Yes.
Yes.
And I just the whole thing, so much of that is intriguing to me. And I wonder about, like, and I've never been a pro athlete, but what makes it fun? Now, winning makes it fun. Yeah. I think we can all agree to that. When you win, and Kurt Warner coming up here in 10 minutes, we'll talk about how much more fun it was in St. Louis as opposed to New York, for example. And he's talked about that on our show, how he went to New York and the scheme didn't fit him and he didn't play great. I would imagine that year was less fun than when he won the Super Bowl with the greatest show on turf.
I would agree with you.
So what beyond that makes it fun?
Well, I think all of the industries, if you're lucky enough to do something you love, I can only relate to it based on what you and I are doing now. I haven't loved every year of my career. I love
this. Me either.
I love this industry. I love what we do, but there are external factors sometimes to where there are years where they go great, and then there are years where you want to wring somebody's neck, whether it's a partner, a boss, a company, or whatever. And that to me is probably, I don't know, that's probably what's happening here. I have to think he's like, this is these fancy receivers who probably get mad at me every other week, by the way. Jamar Chase, I don't think loved last week. T. Higgins got all the run, and Jamar looked very frustrated in a game where the Bengals scored over 35 points or over 30 points.
And lost.
And lost. And that's the deal. Like, Joe is getting sacked too much. There's no defense to stop the other side. It's just, it probably becomes painful, even though in a normal sense it would be fun. I'm sure, like, he's never looked like he doesn't enjoy playing football. Maybe that's where this is going. I don't know.
I don't either. You I don't know, pretend but, to know Joe Burrow, but when I hear him say what he said about, you know, and the follow-up question about, is it on the field? Is it off? And he's like, it's everything. Well, yeah, I mean, maybe you just wait a month and get into the off season, and then you can do a little soul searching, and then you can decide how you feel. You always highlight this, like, why now? Why would he come out now and say it? And just listening to that and watching it earlier, this man is down. He is broken, and it feels more than just, boy, we lost a tough game.
Well, been a lot of years since he's been to the playoffs now, and a lot of pain since that time, and a lot of losing, even while he's playing really well. Let's go to Caleb in Newark. Hey, Caleb, thank you for calling. What's up?
What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. Dibs, I got to get on you, man, about your Brock Purdy and Joe Burrow debate. And,
well, let's
and
look, go. Do it. Don't I mean, do it on the bush. Come on.
Yeah, Willis, you might have to stay out of this one, Willis. It's going to be me and Dibs.
Okay, all right. I'm going to go use the restroom. Go ahead, Caleb.
All right, so look, and this is coming from an LSU fan, so I'm going to be as non-biased as I can when it comes to Joe Burrow, even though I think that 2019 team is the best college team I've ever seen. But look, before I say that, Dibs, do you really think that Brock Purdy is better than Joe Burrow? Like, with a straight face?
Caleb, did you hear what I said earlier, Caleb? It's more
no,
than
that's
about...
What I'm saying, though.
No. I'm going to let you finish. I'm going to let you finish. But what I said is about scheme and style and fit. It's not about who's better, A versus B. And this is not fantasy football. Caleb, go ahead.
Joe Burrow is basically a better version of Brock Purdy. That's basically what he is. Like, this isn't like Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray, where, okay, well, you know, they're a dual threat. They can run, use their legs. So no, like, Joe Burrow is he's a better version of Brock. Like, better arm. He's more accurate. And Brock Purdy has had way more around him than Joe Burrow has had throughout his career. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Like, Joe, I agree with Willard. If you trade two first-round picks for Joe and you swap out Brock Purdy, the Niners get infinitely better. Now, that's no disrespect to Brock, because I like Brock. He's a good player. But Joe Burrow, that's a different level, man.
Then let's just not – I'm sorry, Caleb, Mark. I didn't know you'd come back to the bathroom. But
Caleb,
let's just not then talk ever again about – the tackle of the future, that's a first-round pick you won't have. Let's not talk about the edge rusher that you all want.
Why?
That's a first-round pick.
This is not preventative of the whole roster.
It's preventative of getting the elite people that you want. The elite players at the elite positions, they come in the first round.
The Rams have gotten players without any picks for a decade.
Right.
Honestly, like you can...
An edge rusher?
Yes. His name is Jared Verse, and he's awesome.
Right.
Like, you can get people not in the first round.
The Niners don't, so there you go.
Well, then all the more reason to not have your first round pick.
And the Niners have, so, I mean, they've used a first-round pick on a tackle, and they didn't keep him, and they had to go out and get a free agent Trent Williams to be their tackle.
Well, I mean, now we're getting off subject. We're on the subject of the Niners
and first-round picks, yeah, and they need them.
I, in theory, agree with you, but everything has its price, and this, to me, would simply be an exception. Joe Burrow in the NFL is like Kobe Bryant in the NBA. Like,
that's a stretch.
No, listen to what I'm going to... Let me finish the sentence. There's no system that he doesn't fit. You know, does he fit our system? Joe Burrow fits all of them. One size fits all. 100%. Let's see if Kurt Warner agrees. He's going to join us next. Kickoff show Sunday.
I am the system of the show.
Thank you. Like Guru. Lo Neal, Evan Giddings, 11 a.m., live from Laughing Monk in Sunnyvale. Early games on, food, drink, games in the parking lot. Your chance to win a pair of tickets. Come see the guys, hang out, got the free shuttle over to the game as well from Laughing Monk to and fro. Free shuttle. Go to 957thegame.com. First come, first serve. So you better go to 957thegame.com to sign up right now. I find this very interesting. We'll keep talking it out. We'll keep taking your calls. 888-957-9570. But Kurt Warner weighs in on this and joins us next on Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
I love this show, man. You know, 95.7, man. You know, I'm a gamer.
On 95.7, The Game.
What a great day to have this conversation.
Man.
I mean, there's not really a bad day to have this conversation. But get to
YouTube to see the best looking guy on the show.
Oh, thanks.
Well, unfortunately, you now take the silver medal because the silver fox is joining us on YouTube.
You're right. He looks great. And in fact, on the River Islands guest line and on YouTube, it makes me want to ask Kurt Warner, who joins us now, who's older, you or Philip Rivers?
It's close, but I got him by 10 years. So, definitely me. You wouldn't see me, trying this at 54. That's for sure.
Can you believe this, Kurt? I think he's going to start on Sunday.
We shall see. I mean, it is hard to believe, and I think the thing that's hard to believe is the 5-year thing. 44 obviously is crazy, but we saw Tom Brady play extremely well, into his mid-40s. We've seen some other guys play well into their 40s. But being out of it for 5 years and coming back, especially if you're on, 4 days of practice in a new – I don't know. I mean, it's crazy to me. But I love Philip. I have so much respect for him, even to try this and put himself out there like this. I just hope – it's a semblance of – that it goes well. I don't think we can have expectations that it's going to go great. But I hope there's some really good things that come out of this. And it's not something that he's regretting when it's all said and done.
11 days from now, there is a scenario. You'll be on the Westwood One broadcast for Monday Night Football, the Colts hosting the 49ers, and Philip Rivers might be the quarterback. I would love to hear what you have to say on that broadcast.
I mean, I can't wait. I mean, if he is at that point in time, I think we'll have a lot of really good things to be saying at that point. And I'm excited. I think everybody in the football world is excited to watch this game and to see how this can go. You remember Joe Flacco a couple years ago came off the couch and did some great things for Cleveland. Now, he wasn't sitting on the couch for 5 years, so that's a whole different deal. But again, I told somebody today, there's two aspects to this. I have so much respect for Philip Rivers that I can't sit here, as a player and the person that he is, I can't sit here and say, oh, it's not going to go well. He's got no chance. But I also have so much respect for the game and what it's all about and how complex it is and how fast it is that I also don't say, any 44-year-old can come off a couch after sitting on it for 5 years and go light up the NFL. I don't believe that either. Hopefully Philip proves me wrong in that regard. And he's still got some of that magic that he had when he was going good.
Kurt, Dibs and I have been sitting here sort of talking out mythical Joe Burrow scenarios. I don't know. Did you hear the press conference that he held yesterday? Did you hear it?
Yeah, I heard
okay,
it. Okay,
yeah. So I want to play it again for our audience so that they've got it, and then we got to just start by getting your reaction to all of this.
You know, if I want to keep doing this, I have to have fun doing it. You know, I've been through a lot, and if it's not fun, then what am I doing it for? So that's the mindset I'm trying to bring to the table.
How much fun are you having right now? Is it difficult to have fun given the season, what you've been through physically, emotionally, all of it? Is it tough?
Yes, certainly.
Did you have fun playing before how much of it was fun before? And winning's always fun, but in general, was it as fun before you got hurt? Did you view it that way at least?
No, I wouldn't say I viewed it that way, I think.
What was the changing point?
Changing point. I'm not sure there was a singular moment or time. It's just a reflection on a lot of things that I've done and been through in my career, I think. And I've been through more than most, and certainly not easy on the brain or the body, so just trying to have fun doing it again.
You seem like there's something on your mind, or maybe I'm reading too much into it, but it seemed frustrated.
There's just a lot of things going on right now. A lot of things going on right now.
Football-related, personally?
All of the above.
How do you translate that, Kurt? Where does your mind go?
Well, I mean, my mind goes to one of two places. The first one is, you know, we mentioned it there that, you know, it's been a struggle for him to stay on the field, and he's been beat up and he's been hit a lot. And, you know, when you're constantly on that road of, you know, just trying to battle just to be out there every single week, it does take the fun away from it. You know, you can't enjoy the week. You can't enjoy the preparation because it's all about what can I do next to get healthy and get out there or to manage the injuries that I have. And it's not just playing ball and, you know, letting things fall as they may. And so that could be one side of it, or that could be what he's talking about is just, man, I can't stay healthy. And, you know, just this grind all the time is not enjoyable. It's not the football that I remember. And then there could be the other side of it that could be, I'm not having any fun here, you know, specifically because I'm playing really well. The offense is playing really well. You know, our defense is struggling and we can't get that right. And so no matter how well we play, we still don't win. We still don't get a chance to compete for a championship. You know, we've talked a lot about their offensive line at times, not always putting the pieces together for them. And so he's getting hit, and maybe that's part of the frustration is I can't stay on the field because I get hit so much and we're not addressing some of those things. So it could be a combination of both, you know, that just right now, it's not fun. You know, the last 2 years, it hasn't been fun because no matter what we do, I have trouble staying on the field and we have trouble winning. And that's not a fun combination. As much as I love football, that's not a fun combination at the NFL level.
Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner here on 95.7 The Game. So for you, you got to the end of your career, and I'm looking at it here. You had an overtime win, 51-45 over Green Bay, and then a loss yeah. at New Orleans, and that was it. How did you know at the end that enough was enough?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I always wondered when I was going through my career when I would know, and I always felt like, you know, being a man of faith, that God would hit me with a 2x4 and, or, you know, just physically it would fall off a cliff and go, okay, dude, you know, it's time. Like, you can't do what you used to do. It's time to walk away. And I didn't necessarily have that because physically I felt like I could have played 4 or 5 more years. Like you said, I mean, I could argue that 51-45 game that, you know, that second to last playoff game was the best game I ever played in my career. You know, in 08, we went to the Super Bowl and, you know, could have won an MVP. So I was playing really well at the end of my career. But for me, it was pretty obvious. Through 2008, the game had taken a toll on me. The game, and I would say just the situation in Arizona, where there was such expectation for the way I had to play for us to win, that it was causing me to lose weight. Like, I played in the Super Bowl in 08 at 201 pounds, which I hadn't played or been since I was a junior in college. But the stress and lack of sleep and game planning and you know, putting so much on myself to perform well every week, you know, you talk about not having fun. It was like you could play a great game on Sunday and you had to turn around and not even enjoy that and get right back to work knowing you had to play well the next week if you were going to win. And so you know, halfway through 2008, I started considering it. Obviously, we went to the Super Bowl, and it was a great year. And at that time, I thought I might retire. I went back for a couple of weeks, thought about it, prayed about it, and that itch was still there. You know, I knew very quickly after that, because sometimes you can get into the season and it can be a long season and whatever, and you're just like, I'm done. But, you know, it took some time, and I'm like, I want to come back. So when I came back in 09, it was about halfway through 09, and a lot of those same feelings and you know, same thing, and I could see the toll that the game was taking on me physically, you know, not getting banged up, but just physically more off the field. And it was at that point, about halfway through the season, I thought, okay, this is it. This is the end of this. It's been great. It's been a great run. I know I could still play physically, but this is about longevity and making sure that I take care of myself for the next chapter and what I want to do with my kids and my wife moving forward. And so it really wasn't that hard of a decision. You know, maybe God, you know, led me into it. You know, he started the thinking in 08, and then he hit me with that 2x4 in 09, and I knew it was time to walk away. And when I walked away, I had no thoughts of coming back. You know, it wasn't one of those guys that get kind of 1 foot out and 1 foot in. I think it's supposed to be the time to retire, and I'm not sure. And then I get out and I don't know what I'm going to do. And so you come back. I knew when it was done, it was done. I walked away. I was happy with the decision, had peace with the decision, and, you know, could move on.
All right. So this is, I got a couple on the Joe Burrow situation based on what you just said, like, because when we hear what he said, some people's mind went to, I don't know, maybe that 2x4 is in his garage. I don't know if he's been hit with it yet, but maybe it's close. Or maybe this is just about the Bengals. Like, do you believe that Joe is getting reflective on his career, or is he getting reflective on his team?
Yeah, it's so hard for me. And again, it's not, you know, out of the realm of possibility. I mean, we saw Andrew Luck in the heart of his career, great quarterback, walk away. And it sounds like, you know, one side of it could very easily be the same stuff that that Andrew went through. You know, the physical pounding and the toll that was taking on him physically to play the game. And he walked away early. And nobody would have guessed that in a million years. And so, you know, you watch Joe and you know how good he is. And you know, he's still got stuff he wants to accomplish. It's hard for me to buy in that, you know, it's fully about his future and walking away.
Yep.
But more power to him. Like, again, this game's great and it gives us so many great things, but it also takes a toll on you and can take a toll on you physically. And if you feel that way and you have no ties with your, you know, defining your life or your career by, you know, by all these things that you could accomplish and you can walk away and be healthy and, you know, be set financially and move into the next phase, you know, more power to you. It's just hard for me to buy that with these, you know, with a young guy like him that you feel like has so much more in the tank from a player standpoint. It's hard for me to think that this is just reflective of, hey, I've been through some injuries. I think I want to walk away.
I agree with you, which is why my mind kind of leans in the direction of this is about a team that has not gotten a defense and an offensive line around it's franchise QB. Yeah. So since it's sports radio, we get to let our minds wander a little bit. And here in the Bay Area, if there is this mythical, like, Joe Burrow wants out, Kurt, you've had so many great conversations with us about Brock Purdy. If the Bengals, if Joe Burrow wants out, should the Niners be interested?
I mean... Yeah, that's a tough question. I love Brock, and I think Brock's really good. But I also do believe Joe's better than Brock is and brings more to the table. And so I think, you know, I mean, if that were the case, you probably have 28 teams in the league that say Joe Burrow would be an upgrade at the quarterback spot, not a knock on any of these other guys that are really good quarterbacks in this league. It's just – Joe's one of the special ones, you know, he's shown that time and again. So, you know, but again, I don't know what all that entails for all these different teams. I don't know what that entails, you know, for Joe to even get out of Cincinnati. I just can't imagine Cincinnati letting him go. I mean, I understand if, you know, it was a Carson Palmer and I'm going to retire if you don't trade me type of thing. Okay. you know, but I also think part of, and not that they can't do all of it, but, you know, this offseason, I mean, they went and, you know, they signed Ja'Marr Chase and they signed T. Higgins and you know, and so they made some moves and some things that, that Joe wanted from that standpoint. I think it's also hard to get everything that you want in this league. When guys are getting paid so much, you can put so much of it into to certain areas and you have to kind of focus on, you know, what you want to do. And, you know, sometimes you can draft really well and you get great skill players in the draft, or you can get great offensive linemen that aren't getting paid a lot of money yet and you can kind of put it all together. But, you know, I just think that's another challenge when you have a bunch of great players on a team like Cincinnati did. You, you kind of get top heavy with some of that payment. But back to your point, I love Brock, and I think Brock is a really good starting quarterback in the National Football League. So I don't think he's a guy that you part with easily. You know, but if Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow become available, I think any team, especially with as young as those guys are, any team, you know, would at least consider exploring, you know, trying to get one of those guys, you know, to come to their place.
Yeah, probably cost the Niners a couple of first round picks as well, but not to get too bogged down into that part. I'm just curious, Kurt, about the Joe Burrow fit in the Shanahan scheme, because we've seen Brock Purdy be really good at what they run, 21 personnel, a lot of the, you know, outside zone and the play action stuff. Is Joe Burrow so good that he's a scheme fit for anybody?
You know, I don't know about anybody, but I think he is one guy that, that you know, fits in a lot of schemes for sure. You know, I think Joe, to me, is one of the best processors and readers of the field in the National Football League, maybe the best. You know, I enjoy watching him because I feel like he played the game very much like I did. I don't know if that's fully conducive to what Kyle does. But I believe a guy like that, that processes information really well, can fit into that system and find ways to have success and, you know, have the ability to make different kinds of throws. We talked about that with Brock numerous times. I think what makes him so special in that offense is sometimes they ask the quarterback to make some tough throws. And he's got the ability to make those tough kind of throws. Joe has that ability as well. He processes information really, really fast. So, yeah, I mean, in a passing offense, and especially, you know, Kyle with the play action and what they do off the run game, I mean, Joe would excel in that. You know, I think the pass game may be a little more of a struggle based on the way Joe plays to how they want to play, you know, with more of the pure progression versus the full field reads. But without a question, I think Joe and Kyle, if they were to get together, could easily – you know, mesh that together and come up with something pretty awesome.
All right, so now that we're we can break down the 2026 Niners a little bit more maybe next time we talk. We don't want to let you get out of here without breaking down the 2025 San Francisco 49ers. I think a lot of fans here in the Bay, the minute Fred Warner and Nick Bosa went out, sort of had a sheepish look at their chances this year.
Yeah.
But now suddenly people are starting to dream. They're at least healthy on one side of the ball.
Yeah.
NFC, other contenders have some warts too. How do you see, where I should say, do you see them sitting within the framework of the NFC right now?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see them as one of the best teams right now. Obviously, you know, when you have someone like Christian and the way that he's playing, he is an X factor. And they've used him so much this year and kind of gotten back to that heavy usage with him. And so he's that guy that you see and you go, okay, with a guy like that, you have the opportunity to beat anybody. But I don't know the skill on the outside. If, you know, they get into a pass game, if they can win that kind of pass game. I really like their defense. I think they've overperformed, you know, as you guys said, with some of the injuries that they have. So I think this is a really good, solid team. I don't know if they're a great team. Now, I don't know if we have a lot of great teams that are out there, you know, but the way the Rams are playing and how solid they are across the board, but I know San Francisco beat them and beat them with Mac in there. And so I think they match up well with everybody because they can win the physical battle. They're solid on defense. They don't make a lot of big mistakes on defense. And they've got some playmakers on offense that you can kind of hang your hat on. When I look at them, I look at them as kind of just a step below, you know, some of the other better teams.
you were there with Marshall Faulk when he went 1,000-1,000, and McCaffrey's on his way perhaps to another 1,000-1,000. And considering what you said about not a lot of other help on the outside, how impressive is it in your mind what McCaffrey's doing with an offense that isn't that dynamic?
Well, I mean, he's impressive, so I'm not going to, you know, make this sound like it's not impressive. But I would say I'm not surprised. I mean, when you have a guy like that, like we had Marshall, you know, we were going to use him. And, you know, we didn't really overuse him in either area, but he was going to get 80 catches a year. He was going to, you know, get 1,200-1,300 yards rushing every year. And we were going to mix him up, and we were going to use him in a lot of different ways because we could. And because he was a difference maker and a mismatch for a lot of teams. And so, you know, all you worry about is the wear and tear part of it. Because I don't know where he is touches compared to like what Marshall was. I never felt like we overused Marshall. You know, I never felt like, oh my gosh, I'm worried that, you know, at week 14 and 15, he's going to be banged up because, you know, because we give him too many touches. I just don't feel like that was how it is. When I watched San Francisco with Christian, there are times I'm like, gosh, man, he's getting a lot of touches, a lot of physical touches and getting hit a lot. And so I think that's the concern, but I'm not surprised. You know, he's the best player and he's back healthy. And you don't have, you know, the Debos and the Ayuks on the outside, you know, to really feed that passing game. You know, that you kind of have to work inside out, and he's a big part of that.
That's an interesting comment. Like, if you were, and I guess you will talk to Kyle Shanahan next week. I mean, would you, not that he's looking for advice from you, but would you suggest in general less touches for Christian?
I mean, I think you do what you have to do to win. And, you know, if you have a workhorse and you believe that he can handle the load, then you keep putting it on him. I mean, like, if there's ways, you know, I mean, we had Hall of Famers in other places. So, you know, we could throw it to other guys and feel really comfortable and win games and have success. And so we didn't have to. There's other teams that have to kind of feed that beast a little bit more. You know, it's always concerning, but I you know, I'm going to tell him to win however he has to win.
Yeah.
And I think Kyle knows that as well as anybody. And I think that's part of the reason why he's used so much is he understands there's some limitations, you know, with their skill players now, you know, young guys and you know, guys like, you know, Jennings, who are good players, just not necessarily number ones and difference makers from that perspective, you know. And also you lose a guy like Debo. I mean, Debo could do some of the stuff that Christian did. And so, you know, some of those, you know, quick pass routes or even the jet sweeps or throwing it quick to him, you know, you could spread that out between him and Debo and get the same effect. They don't really have that guy now. And so, you know, I think all that just leads to the uptick. But like I said, I think they're outperforming what anybody expected, especially with the injuries they've had. And Christian's a big part of it. And Kyle, as always, does a great job of finding ways to win. And so I'm not telling Kyle anything. I'll talk to him in the offseason if he wants to talk a little ball. But, yeah, he knows how to coach way better than I do.
Marshall, 340 touches that year. McCaffrey already at 322 this year. So by the time you see Christian McCaffrey, he'll be well above what Marshall did his 1,000-1,000 year.
Fingers crossed. You know, again, by the way, yeah.
Right, and yeah. I don't have the numbers either, but I would guess a lot of those touches for Marshall would come later in games too, as you know, we scored points and took the lead. We would feed him more in the run game later in games, so you know, it was kind of a different way of you know, of him doing things too. So, but yeah, it's always fascinating, you know. And some of these guys, I mean, you see Christian. I mean, he's a workhorse and keeps himself in such great condition. But you always worry, right? As guys get a little bit older, you know, how many touches is too many touches?
Oh, our fan base is worried. Don't worry about that at all. The great Kurt Warner with us here on Willard and Dibbs. And Westwood One Monday nights. You might be doing 40-plus-year-old quarterbacks 2 weeks in a row because you got Aaron Rodgers this Monday and maybe Phillip Rivers the one after that. A bunch of your former contemporaries. So it should be fun. Kurt, thank you so much.
You got it. No problem. Take care, guys.
All right. There he goes. Kurt Warner right here on Willard and Dibbs. Lots to react to there. 888-957-9570. Yeah. Joe Burrow would fit. Joe Burrow would fit with Kyle Shanahan. Some of you want to weigh in on this. We'll get back to your phone calls Coming up next, 888-957-9570. Since we're on the topic, go ahead and answer it. Brock Purdy and two ones for Joe Burrow. Would you do it? 888-957-9570 is the number, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good, Willard and Dibbs.
And it's Dan Dibley here. You know what I love about heading to Chase Center? It's the energy, the excitement, and doing it all without sitting in traffic. That's why so many fans hop on Caltrain. It's the easy, stress-free way to get to the action. Instead of fighting for parking or staring at brake lights, you can relax, scroll your phone, grab a snack, or just kick back and enjoy the ride. Caltrain drops you right in San Francisco, steps away from great food, entertainment, and, of course, the big event at Chase Center. Skip the traffic, skip the parking, take Caltrain, your ride to what matters.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs.
It's a fantastic question. It really is. First time I've been asked it this way.
Ooh, that's a good question. That's a good question.
Well, that's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
All right, still ahead. Jason Lockenfor in a little bit over an hour. He may well have some insight on what exactly Joe Burrow meant yesterday. Stand by if you're just joining us. We'll let you hear what Joe Burrow said on his 29th birthday and what Adam Schefter had to say about it. Also, Johnny Avello, DraftKings in a half hour. He's going to help the ice cold Dibbers as he gets ready for a pick.
Yep.
You got a pick.
And even when I was 16-4 and we had on John Avello, he was like, yeah, I mean, great run, but honestly, I mean, you can't. If you're expecting that this is going to last, no. It's not. It's not going to.
No.
And the regression has come.
It didn't need to crash this hard.
It hasn't crashed that hard. Like, I'm still well above 500.
Yeah. Season, like, the view from 10,000 feet, great.
Crashing that hard would be 4-16. I'd be 20-20 right now if I crashed as hard as I was hot at that point.
Right, but it's kind of like a good marriage, but you're in a fight this week.
This is getting close to like moving
this
out.
Is a good man. No.
Trial separation stuff. We're getting there. I know, right?
No, we're not there.
No.
You're just having a bumpy week.
It's been more than a week. Yeah. We've been fighting for a while.
I know, but like, you haven't gone 0-3 every week. Like, you're 0-for. You went 0-for last week.
I got two words for you.
What?
Guest room. My picks are in the guest room right now.
Do you know where my stupid mind goes when you say that?
I don't know where.
Do you know how lucky you are to have a guest room?
Pretty sweet. I mean, you got three kids and a bunch of problems.
I'm just so filled with gratitude that it's like, I'd love to have that problem to where you're sending people to different rooms in the house.
I never.
Hey, you go over there. I'm ticked at you. How about you sleep down? I mean, dude.
I'm gonna flex.
That'd be great.
It'd be a little bit of a Kurt Warner flex here. I got two guest rooms. I got a guest room and an office, which could easily be a guest room.
I think I got somebody for you.
Yeah. You're gonna have to. God, he's making me pay rent.
Anyhow.
Where were we?
Kurt Warner flexed on you. That's for sure.
Kind of.
Joe Burrow doesn't fit in Kyle Shanahan's system. Come on.
The system would be different, as he so eloquently put it.
Similar to how, don't ever forget that Kyle Shanahan worked with Matt Ryan, and he won an MVP. Like, this is the one thing that I will always push back on with almost any coach, but certainly any good one like Kyle. They're not brick walls where they're just like, this is what we're doing, now go do it. No, this is a guy who employed Jimmy Garoppolo and drafted Trey Lance. You don't think he can adjust a little bit to whoever's coming?
Well, he ran Trey Lance into the ground. That was his adjustment.
I mean, my point is,
he didn't allow him to throw the ball. There was that.
First of all,
you're right.
We're talking about a game and a half. But my point is that he knew he's going to try to adjust things to put a player in their best position to succeed. And I don't think that's very difficult if one of your players is Joe Burrow.
If Joe Burrow is still interested in actually playing football,
all right, so
which
take,
that we don't really know
no,
about.
No, I mean, that is fair. I'm with Kurt, though. I got a hard time believing that the 29-year-old who's super-duper really good at football suddenly wants to leave.
You know how old Andrew Luck was
when
he retired, right?
And you know that...
The answer is 29.
And you know that is still referenced at such a level because it's so rare. It's so shocking when someone does that.
But if you want to look at the parallels between the two, they are striking. Andrew Luck was I think he was the number one overall pick.
He sure was.
Andrew Luck was among the top three or four quarterbacks in the game. Andrew Luck was 29. Andrew Luck was ravaged with injury. Check, 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 check.
Right, but that doesn't mean, like, there are a lot of people who fit into that box and are not retiring. So I can't.
I'm just saying that if you look at the parallels at age, at injury, at, like, the level of sadness, and you're going to play it, but listen to the words, but also focus on, like, how sad he sounds.
All right, so we'll actually play both Burrow and Andrew Luck when he retired.
Oh, I love it.
Okay, here's Joe. This is yesterday. Happy 29th birthday, Joe Burrow. This is how he spent it.
You know, if I want to keep doing this, I have to have fun doing it. You know, I've been through a lot, and if it's not fun, then what am I doing it for? So that's the mindset I'm trying to bring to the table.
How much fun are you having right now? Is it difficult to have fun, given the season, what you've been through physically, emotionally, all of it? Is it tough?
Yes, certainly.
Did you have fun playing before how much of it was fun before? Winning's always fun, but in general, was it as fun before you got hurt? Did you view it that way, at least?
No, I wouldn't say I viewed it that way, I think.
What was the changing point?
Changing point. I'm not sure there was a singular moment or time. It's just a reflection on a lot of things that I've done and been through in my career, I think. And I've been through more than most, and certainly not easy on the brain or the body, so just trying to have fun doing it again.
You seem like there's something on your mind, or maybe I'm reading too much into it, but it seemed frustrated.
There's just a lot of things going on right now. A lot of things going on right now.
Football-related, personally?
All of the above.
I love that question. But, Joe, maybe I'm reading too much into it. You seem frustrated. You think, Bob? You think?
Well, then is it on the field? Is it off the field? It's all of the above.
It's both.
It's everything right now. There's a lot.
Yes.
Listen.
Obviously, there's a risk with everything.
I can't rule out what you're saying, but I think it's a hell of a lot less than likely. I think it is a much more plausible scenario that Joe Burrow is brimming with frustration because he's really good at football and his team really isn't. And it is woefully misconstructed. It just is. You can't. There's a reason. Like, the Niners really misplayed their receiver situation the last 2 years, but at least they knew.
That's the receiver position. You can get out of that a lot easier.
Not really. They just did this.
Well, they're 9-4. So.
Right. But I'm saying, but the Bengals, right, they moved Deebo Samuel. And Brandon Ayuk, they are removing him.
Yep.
The one thing they knew, we are not doing two $30 million receivers. And by the way, like, as laughable as the Niners thought it was to have Ayuk at 30 and Deebo at 25, the Bengals have Jamar at 40, and T, I don't even have his number. He's somewhere in the neighborhood of 30.
Yep.
You're looking at 70 mil on receivers, and they just did it for both of them last offseason, yet they won't keep Trey Hendrickson. They won't keep a pass rusher. They won't stop Joe from getting sacked, and he lasted one quarter this season. He lasted a game before he got knocked out again. And they're sucking again. They're losing again. Their organization is constructed poorly.
Right, they're the Cincinnati Bengals.
And my guess is that is the central focus of his frustration. I don't know, Joe. I am Greg Cosell here. I'm not in his head.
Sure.
So
I'm not in his head either. But when I hear that, and you'll play the Andrew Luck here coming up in moments, and we can do a side by side comparison of when Andrew Luck
sadness.
Well, and when Andrew Luck retired, I don't recall him being that sad. I think he was just frustrated with his injury history and realizing that, hey, I'm 29 and I might want to do other things.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about what Kurt Warner said. And I was just looking at his last year in Arizona because his penultimate game, second to last, and he said it, that might have been the best game of my career. They put up 50 plus and won in overtime.
Yeah, he's still slinging it.
I mean, amazing game. And what an unbelievable wild card showdown victory. And then you go out the next week and you lose and that's it. I'm retiring.
Yeah.
And he was waiting for God to hit him with a 2x4 and it never happened, but he realized, you know what? I think I'm good.
I never knew that Latrell Sprewell was God, but apparently here we are.
Yeah, that was mean spirited.
No, I what?
I don't think he ever hit anyone with a 2x4.
Tried to.
He choked a coach. I don't think he ever wielded lumber.
Let's hear Andrew Luck.
But I'm going to retire. This is not an easy decision. Honestly, it's the hardest decision of my life, but it is the right decision for me. For the last 4 years or so, I've been in this cycle of injury, pain, rehab, injury, pain, rehab, and it's been unceasing and unrelenting, both in season, and off season, and I've felt stuck in it, and the only way I see out is to no longer play football. It's taken my joy of this game away, and
Yeah. There's Andrew Luck. By the way, Latrell, 1995, Latrell Sprewell got into an argument with teammate Jerome Kersey and then returned to practice with a 2x4.
Oh, there you go. I didn't recall that.
Yeah. Latrell Sprewell.
Well,
like,
and I, if you're going to fight Jerome Kersey, you're going to need to bring a 2x4.
Yeah, but anyway, that was a big guy. That's what the reference was.
Andrew Luck, and I apologize to you for not remembering that, but Andrew Luck used a three-letter word that is very similar to the three-letter word that Joe Burrow used. And Joe Burrow talked about fun, and Andrew said, joy. I've lost the joy for the game. So that's what makes me think about the parallel. Listen, and I'm looking at Andrew Luck, 2016. He played all 15. He hurt his shoulder, missed the entire year, came back and played all 16. But, yeah, he had a long list of injuries. And like what he talked about, the cycle of, you know, rehab, get hurt, play, rehab, get hurt, play. It's brutal.
I cannot rule out what you're saying. However, I do recall the last time an athlete stood in front of a podium and said, I've lost my joy. Andrew Luck's word. You know who that was?
I think it was Kevin Durant.
I'm going to go with Jimmy Butler.
Okay.
And what did Jimmy want?
He wanted money.
He wanted out.
He wanted money.
He wanted off of his team.
But he wanted off his team because he wanted money.
That's fine.
I believe.
That's fine. Whatever the reasoning behind the frustration is, to me, is kind of irrelevant in this moment. All I'm saying, while I can't rule out what you're saying, what I'm saying is it is much more likely that Joe Burrow, especially with an offseason ahead, is going to be fine with playing football. I just don't know if he wants to play for the Cincinnati Bengals anymore. And if we get there, like obviously, we've got a staircase of hypotheticals here in this conversation.
Right.
But this town has had no problem talking about Giannis for 5 years. So what's the problem here? It's kind of the same thing. You've got some smoke. Is there fire? We'll find out. A phenomenal player who basically looks around at what's going on in his organization and goes, I don't think this is going to work anymore, and this is starting to wear me out. And so we're expecting a Giannis trade demand, and this is step one for me in thinking that it may come from Joe Burrow too. So that's where my comment, but look, I don't think this is all going to happen. I love Brock Purdy. I think the Niners are thrilled with Brock Purdy. He hasn't even started his contract yet. But if this were to go down that road, and the Bengals will be looking for two things. First of all, an NFC team. Second of all, a team that can provide an established quarterback in return who probably makes about the same money will put the Niners on the list. And if they called the Niners and said, we think you might be a fit, boy, I'd listen. And I'd do Brock and two ones for Joe Burrow in a minute.
I don't even know if that's what the Bengals would want.
Well, like, you're going to want to get him out of the AFC. They always do.
Fine, but if you're the Bengals, honestly, and you're going to trade your franchise quarterback, a top four quarterback that everybody talks about, for me, you're going to be looking to reboot. I don't think that you're looking for Brock Purdy. So you're going to go from Joe to Brock and pay basically the same money for a guy who's not as good as Joe Burrow so you can continue to have the same problems as an organization?
I got 70 mil tied up in veteran receivers. I ain't starting over. Hell no.
Well, I mean, you look to move off of one of them as well.
I mean, difficult.
Maybe you're not drafting a rookie, but maybe you're, you know, going a different route. Maybe you're going to go the Seattle route, which is you get a Sam Darnold, or maybe you trade for Mac Jones. That actually, if I'm Cincinnati, that makes a lot more sense.
Oh, Mac Jones is
as opposed to spending $52, $53 million a year on Brock Purdy, if you're going to get rid of Joe Burrow, you might as well save a bunch of money so that you can go out and get better, because your big problem, if Burrow wants to play elsewhere, it's because your team's not good enough around him.
What is Zach Taylor's background as a coach? You know all the coaching trees that are out there? Where does Zach Taylor come from? In fact, I'm reading about this right now. Zach Taylor has a pro style heavily influenced by the West Coast system, specifically started by Bill Walsh and Mike Shanahan.
Yep.
That's Zach Taylor's system.
I think he was on the same Ram staff back when, you know, when McVay was there.
Then Brock Purdy's perfect. Brock Purdy's perfect.
It's not about the quarterback. It's about like the move you're going to make.
Well, but
as
you're
a
not
going
to get Mac Jones back. Then the Niners would have $53 million
guy.
Why not? Like,
because
you already have one.
Yes, and you like him. So if you're going to go from Burrow to Purdy, what's the point? You're getting worse, and your team is not going to be better around him.
But that's the only choice you have. You're not getting that much worse. If a star demands a trade, you're going to get worse. That's how it works.
If you're going to get worse, get a lot worse, get higher in the draft, and then you can get your rookie quarterback, and you can reboot it that way.
And Ja'Marr Chase loses his bananas. That's what I'm saying.
You trade Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, if you're going to trade Joe Burrow, you're starting over anyway.
I don't know about that.
It's a reboot.
I don't know. Remember, what did Jason Lockenfora tell us last time he talked to us? The Bengals are weird. They don't like making trades. They don't like it.
Right, so then what are we even having this conversation for?
If they get pinned into a corner, then they get pinned into a corner.
They got pinned into a corner by their edge rusher, and then they didn't do anything, and now he's going to leave for nothing.
He did not pin them in a corner. They reworked his deal, and they're going to agree to part ways.
But and get nothing for him.
If Joe Burrow says, I'm not coming, I'm not reporting to camp, what do you do?
Go hang out with Philip Rivers, and we'll see you in 5 years.
I think, again, we'll see if it goes this way. We're kind of more focused, I think, on sort of having fun with the mythical idea as opposed to, because we're not that far down the road yet of something like this actually happening. Real quick, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM and HD1 San Francisco, Odyssey Sports Station, home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.